Good morning, everybody, and happy Easter. Everybody give a wave. Right? We'll do that, okay? You're all muted, so that way you know, I know you can hear me, all right? And for those that are on the phone there, happy Easter, and I'm glad that you're part of this. I'm looking at a screen, and it says here we've got about 40 participants, and that's wonderful. And obviously, these are different times we live in, and we're all going through the same thing. Of course, those of you that are now gone from being just mom and dad, now you're being teacher and professor, and I'm sure you wanted to expel a couple students already. So, but I hope things are going well. Obviously, we wish we could meet together, and that will come soon, I hope, so we can get together as a church. And actually, what we're planning on doing, once we get the okay to meet back in the building, we're going to have a revised Easter service with some live worship and stuff, so look forward to that. But anyways, welcome. We got a nice service plan for you. I got a couple songs that Sarah's going to introduce today, and then I'm going to give a brief message. It's an Easter message, but it's a little bit also more dealing with the current situation we're going through, because I know these are stressful and anxious times for many families and stuff. So obviously, this is a new time when you begin to give sermons and Sunday talks on the computer and you see your face in the screen. It's kind of scary. So, but anyways, you know, I wanted to share a message that I believe is timely for this Easter Sunday. It's not a traditional Easter message, but I'm trying to, as we do the midweek motivation on Wednesday nights, and if you're not on the email loop, please get on there. That way you know the code to get in. We're not giving those out public for security reasons. Try to make everything that's helpful during these times we live in. And so I chose to talk today about how the crucifixion of Jesus Christ connects us to God. And in a lot of ways, you know, we look at the story of the crucifixion and the death, burial, resurrection, and a great, you know, what we celebrate today is the great resurrection. But I think we need to know exactly how that what Christ went through connects with us. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The crucifixion of the death of Jesus Christ, he was called the Lamb of God by John the Baptist, was a reference to Old Testament that when there was the atonement for the sins of the world and of Israel, a lamb had to be slain, a pure lamb, firstborn, no blemish, to atone for the sins. But during that time in the Old Testament, it wasn't a common thing that the lamb had to be mistreated or abused. And it brings an interesting point. We know that Christ basically, when he died and he was buried and rose again, that was to give us our salvation. But what he went through prior to that is his way and our way of identifying with him and him identifying with us, which gives us comfort during these tough times. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to read a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to give you a list of things that happened during that time when he was getting ready to be crucified that really identifies with what we go through on a daily basis. The first scripture is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. It says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." And that last verse there, "cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you," is where I want to focus on. He understands what we're going through. In fact, at these times right now, he understands the stress and anxiety that all this has brought on to us. I mean, we have the anxiety of the COVID-19 itself, and always wondering if whatever sniffle we get, sore throat, whatever, is this something, you know, do we have it? And we worry about our loved ones. We've been praying for John's brother and all them, the folks that are gone through this, and for Sean. And it brings a lot of anxiety. And then, of course, it's the economic situation that there's some folks in our church that their businesses are suffering, and some have been laid off and going through that, and that creates a lot of anxiety. And I really believe that this verse really hits it, that humble ourselves before God's mighty hand, like that phrase, mighty hand, that he may lift us up in due time, and then cast all, which means put off all of our anxiety on him because he truly cares for us. And I'm going to explain in a few minutes how you can know he truly cares for us. The next verse is in Hebrews chapter number 4. Verses 14 through 16, it says this, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. I love that. The next verse says this, verse number 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us approach let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And I think those Hebrews, and I think also First Peter hits it on the head there. I mean, we are going through some tough times right now. And we all know theologically that God cares for us. We all know that, you know, we can go to him. But sometimes during these times, we may not feel like it. We may not feel that he's that close. And we wonder, does he really fully understand what we're going through? And that brings me to the proof of this in the story of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in the events. Most of us know the story if you were raised in a home of faith, but even just as an American citizen, most of us know the story of Jesus Christ and how it all came about from the point that he started his ministry to the point he get to Palm Sunday to where he had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The process started taking place for him to go through a number of things. In a lot of ways, a lot of these things had nothing to do with paying for our sins because that was the death, burial, resurrection. But just what he went through, some of the things humanly speaking shows us that God is in heaven today and Jesus Christ is in heaven today, and they fully understand what we go through emotionally when we deal with life circumstances, anxieties, and problems and all those things there. And I want to point a number of them out. Going to talk first about the garden experience. We all know the Garden of Gethsemane story where Jesus Christ went into the garden and he asked his disciples to stay, you know, nearby, and he went and he prayed. And if you ever seen the movie The Passion of the Christ and those movies there, you know that it was a tremendous emotionally charged event. It says that he prayed so hard that he actually was sweating drops of blood, and that he basically was gone through such an emotional time. And that shows us he understands the pains of anticipation. He understands what it's like for us to wonder what's going to happen next. He understands fully when we pray to him, we're worried about a test coming back, we're worried about a family member, we're worried about the future, whatever. He fully understands anticipation and the uncertainty of it was going to come next. And so when you and I go through that, we know that the garden experience really connects us with him through what the future holds in anticipation. And then the next point after this, he was arrested and he went on trial. And he went on trial and he was falsely accused. He was falsely accused of things by the Roman government and by the religious leaders of that day. And he basically was, you know, stripped of his garments. He was led around basically almost unhumanly by those of the Roman guards. And that gives the understanding of the pain of humiliation. And we've all been through times we felt humiliated, and we wonder if we're going through times of struggles and humiliation. Maybe it's because we've done something ourselves or somebody's hurt us or whatever. Does God fully understand what it is to be humiliated? And the answer is yes to the trial part of his journey. Then on the porch, after he had been interviewed by the religious leaders, all his disciples, by the way, took off. And Peter, who said he would never deny Jesus Christ, took off. But he stayed nearby enough to kind of make sure he knew what was going on. And three times the scripture says he denied Christ. And somebody said, you're one of his followers. And three times he said, I'm not one of his followers. And to think about this, there's an episode in the scripture in the book of Luke to where Peter's being confronted with a young lady, and she's basically accusing him of being a disciple. And right when he said, I swear to you, I have no knowledge of this guy. I'm a paraphrase this. I do not know him. The scriptures record this, that the moment he said that, Jesus was being taken out of that building and their eyes connected. And to me, if you think about, you know, his friends, his closest, you know, I would call his extended family, his disciples. And the moment Jesus is going through the toughest time before he's crucified, he gets to hear one of his most loyal companions say to somebody right in his presence, I don't even know the guy. And that kind of gives us the understanding that Jesus Christ knows the pain of denial. He knows the pain when somebody basically rejects us. He knows the pain we go through those things like that. The next one is when they chose Barabbas. They chose Barabbas. You remember the story how that Pontius Pilate, you know, he was kind of a political figure. He didn't really want to get his hands into this. Like he said, you know, he washed his hands or anything. He came up with this idea based upon the rules of engagement that he could present two different criminals before the people, whoever they chose to release, they would release, and the other one would be condemned of their crimes or so-called crimes. And so he takes and has Jesus and he has Barabbas taken out. And of course, it was a setup. Those outside there were paying many people basically to yell out, "We want to save Barabbas." And all of a sudden, you can imagine Jesus and Barabbas stay in there. Jesus is the innocent one. Barabbas is the guilty one. But yet, when it came time to release one, the people chose Barabbas. And that gives us the idea that Jesus Christ and God knows the pains of injustices. When something is done to us that we did not deserve, when something is done to us because somebody else has an ulterior motive or whatever, when you pray about an injustice, you wonder, does God understand what an injustice is? We definitely know he does. A few more here. When the guards mocked him, and when he's on the cross, and you know they put that sign above him, the King of the Jews, and they basically were, you know, all the things that they did him, they were gambling for his clothes. He knows the pains of his insults. Jesus Christ and God knows what it's like to be insulted. The thief on the cross that cursed him, one obviously chose to accept Christ. The other one basically says, "Hey, if you're such a big deal, if you are the Christ, why did you save yourself and save us too?" And so Jesus Christ knows what it's like to have someone doubt him, and we've all gone through that. A couple more here. When his mother's tears, and this is really heart-wrenching because his mother was down and watching him go through this. And she understood who he was because obviously she knew because she was conceived of the Holy Spirit. But the human factor of this is that when you see your mother go through a tormented time, Jesus Christ, when you pray, when you're burdened about somebody else's emotions, he understands what you're going through and the pain of that. And the last one, on the cross, it's the most startling thing because there was about seven sayings that Jesus had from the cross, and one of them was, "Is my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's interesting that in all scriptures that God has never abandoned the human race. There's only one person that's ever recorded in the scripture that he has totally abandoned during that time, and that was his son, Jesus Christ. He could not look upon him because he took the sins of the world on him and paid for our sins. And Jesus at that time was faced with what I think was probably the most loneliest time ever because he had been united with the Father for all eternity, past, present, and future. And for one precise time there, he was rejected and forsaken by the Father. And that tells me that that Jesus Christ and God, they totally can understand when we feel lonely and isolated and no one's there for us. So I share all those things there. It's a different type of Easter message, but you know, we're going through emotional times right now. We're all dealing with the struggles. We're all dealing with the anxieties. And I think this has strengthened our church in a sense. In fact, this Zoom here is probably connecting us more in a lot of ways than we can do in a few minutes before or after services. And so to me, this may be healthy for the church. But I just want to close by saying this, is that his death gives us life. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd love to talk to you. You know, it's about a relationship. It's not about religion. In fact, we're learning this right now through Zoom. It's about relationship. But his death gives us life, but his suffering helps us while we live. Because we know that when we pray to God, whatever we're going through, he's been there. He's walked the walk. He understands. So the struggles this week, the anxieties may go through, me to encourage you, take all your cares to him because he knows what you're going through and he will give you strength in all that you're going through.